is now back in the church on Mondays and Fridays. That's in the evenings at 7 o'clock. Midweek worship, Wednesday at 11. Oh, it's cancelled. Right. There's no midweek worship on Wednesday at 11 then. The Guild is on Wednesday at 7:30. What's happened on Wednesday? Oh, at 2 o'clock. Right, the Guild's 2 o'clock on Wednesday at South Beach. Let me try. The prayer time is on Thursday. And the choir practice at 7. And the badminton at 7:30. So Friday at 10 o'clock. We're open to any volunteers who'd like to help in any way with cleaning the church or the grounds or anything. And the Lent group meets in Audrey Scott's house on Friday at 7. Next Sunday is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and it's Passion Sunday. Advance notice that on Palm Sunday, that's a fortnight away, we usually have a soup and sweet lunch for Christian Aid. Well, we're having a lunch for Christian Aid, but it's not soup and sweet. It's Morrison's sandwiches and candy bar cakes. Tickets are available, £3.50, and they're available today. I commend to you the food bank and the Malawi box, and these are all the intimations. We belong to the biggest family in the world, in heaven and on earth, whose father and mother is God. So let's join together as this big family to worship him, singing hymn 676, Hark My Soul, It Is the Lord. The very best of human love, as seen in fathers and mothers, is just a pure reflection, a pale reflection, a faint echo, and a mere hint of the love of God. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we remember that in the beginning you were all alone, and you thought it was not good to be alone, so you created man. And you thought it was not good for man to be alone, so you created woman. You thought it was not good for them to be alone, so you created children. And you created families. You created congregations of families. You created a whole network of congregations. You created the whole complex of human society. And you have bound us together with love. You watch over us as a father does his children, and as a mother hen pulls her chicks under her wings. You protect us like a father and nurture us like a mother. But we confess that we are not the best behaved of children. Adam and Eve is the story of every man and every woman. It's our story. And Cain slays Abel, his brother, every day. We do not always act as our brother's keeper, nor do we love our neighbor as much as we should. Forgive your children's warring madness. But we thank you for your forgiveness and steadfast love. We thank you that as often as we fail you, your love remains constant towards us. The prodigal son can always come home, and the self-righteous big brother is always welcome back. So bless us as we gather here today as your family, as your chicks under your wing, as your children attached to your apron strings. And hear us as we pray together as one big family, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning. I'll stand kind of here, will I? So you all remembered it was Mother's Day. So you're doing anything special for Mother's Day? How are you going to celebrate Mother's Day? Laura? What are you going to do? You're going to the care home. Your mum's a bit young for that. You're going to visit the ladies and the men in the care home today, but you've something in mind? To give them flowers. That's very nice. Whose bright idea was that then? All right, very good. That's a nice thought. Think of other mums. What about this side? Are you doing anything special? Did you get a card? Eh? You're watching football. Did you get a wee present for your mum? We'll need to think of something quick. So tell me about mums. Uh-huh. They're loving. Anything else? Given your mums are sitting close by, you have to watch what you say. I appreciate. Uh-huh. Have your mum's got funny ways? They care for you? Uh-huh. Do you remember anything that your mum always tells you? She makes you clean your room, right? Does she need to make you? Do you not clean it yourself anyway? No? You need a hand up your back? Mums are wonderful. They teach you to walk. They teach you to talk. Then they teach you to sit down and shut up. How many trillions of times have I told you not to exaggerate? Don't point when you're talking. If you fall off that wall and break your legs, don't come running to me. Another thing. But mums are special, and today's the day we think about it. They're special other days too, but we're thinking about it. What's a mum's eye view of today then? We've got mums sitting here. So, what's it like to be a mum? I've never been a mum. What's the best bit of being a mum?
When they're sleeping.
If you look on the back of your orders of service, you will read the best bits about being a mum from another mum. And the second one down is that one. The joy of motherhood is what a woman experiences when all the children are finally in bed. I like the one further down. People who say that they sleep like a baby usually don't have a baby. And the bottom one, a mum talking to an old college friend. Remember before I was married, I had 3 theories about raising children. Well, now I have 3 children and no more theories. So there's a whole page there. It's taken from our mother and quotes that she made. So this is Mother's Day, but it's also another special day. Do you know what other day this is? This is God's day. This is the Sabbath. This is Sunday. Every week we come here because it's God's day. So it's God's day and Mother's Day. And maybe they're both together in cahoots as a team. God looks after you and Mum looks after you. Mum is employed by God to look after you. From Mum's point of view, all the responsibility is not with her. It's God's responsibility that he shares with the mums. It's a lovely thought that Mum and God work together. I knew of one guy who was a bit of a rascal, and his mum was aye worried about him, and she prayed about him. She prayed for 36 years for him. Before he sort of got more sensible and was a better behaved lad. But for 36 years, Mum and God have been praying for this guy. So, think about it as God does a lot of work through human beings. And God brings you up using mums and dads. But it's a wider team than that because God uses Sunday school teachers, ministers, family, friends, grandparents, primary teachers, doctors, dentists, opticians. It's amazing how we are surrounded by a whole team of folk that are all God's hands and feet and voice, his instruments, his channels, and you're part of the team because you do your little bit to help your mum, to help your Sunday school teacher, to help your day teacher, to help your family, to help your friends. We're all involved in the team from one angle or another. That's what's beautiful. Sometimes folk think everything revolves around me. I've got all these folk running around me. But remember that you are part of the team that runs around other folk. And it's a network. And we all intermix and work together. I just want to read you a wee poem And then the Sunday school is going to give out some gifts for Mother's Day. This is a whole book of poems by Helen Steiner Rice, and there's three of them, but I'll just read one. A Mother's Day Prayer. Our Father in heaven, whose love is divine, thanks for the love of a mother like mine. And in thy great mercy, look down from above and grant this dear mother the gift of your love. And all through the year, whatever befalls her, assure her each day that you are beside her. And Father in heaven, show me the way to lighten her tasks and brighten her day. And bless her dear heart with the insight to see that her love means more than the world to me. So let God's love flow in you and through you to help your mum and to help everyone. Let's sing together. Well, before we sing together, let's do the gifts and then we'll sing. So you've been making these things up. Can I see one? Right. Oh, they're all different. And everyone was handmade. And it's even got a chocolate on it. That's a good card. Ooh. Happy Mother's Day. So, fire away then. You want to come out and help? Right, if you just spread out and go to either side. Just go in all directions. Run up and then you can run back for a refill. Right, so thanks very much to the Sunday School for making these gifts. And they might even enjoy the chocolates before the sermon's out. In the meantime, let's all sing together hymn 417, God is Always Near Me, 417. With a light, so we just put this across. Thank you. Our first reading today is Psalm 22. Jesus was steeped in the Scriptures, and for him that was the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't written yet. So it's reckoned that when Jesus was on the cross, and he was hanging there, he was interpreting his experience through his Bible knowledge. It's reckoned he was quoting this to himself all the way through. You'll see why as we read it. Psalm 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? I have cried desperately for help, but still it does not come. During the day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. I call at night, but get no rest. But you are enthroned as the Holy One, the one whom Israel praises. Our ancestors put their trust in you. They trusted you and you saved them. They called to you and escaped from danger. They trusted you and were not disappointed. But I am no longer a man. I'm a worm, despised and scorned by everyone. All who see me jeer at me. They stick out their tongues and shake their heads. You relied on the Lord, they say. Why doesn't he save you? If the Lord likes you, why doesn't he help you? It was you who brought me safely through birth. And when I was a baby, you kept me safe. I have relied on you since the day I was born. You've always been my God. Do not stay away from me. Trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many enemies surround me like bulls. They're all round me, like fierce bulls from the land of Bashan. They open their mouths like lions roaring and tearing at me. My strength is gone, gone like water spilt on the ground. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like melted wax. My throat is as dry as dust, and my tongue sticks to the root of my mouth. You have left me for dead in the dust. A gang of evil men is round me. Like a pack of dogs, they close in on me. They tear at my hands and feet. All my bones can be seen. My enemies look at me and stare. They gamble for my clothes and divide them among themselves. O Lord, don't stay away from me. Come quickly to my rescue. The second reading is Matthew 23 at verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone the messengers God has sent you. How many times have I wanted to put my arms round all your people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me. And so your temple will be abandoned and empty. From now on, I tell you, you will never see me again until you say, God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. And Mark chapter 15, at verse 33. At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why did you abandon me? Amen, and thanks be to God for these readings. Now let's sing together hymn 254, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, 254 in the Red Book. Thank you. This is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and in each week we've been thinking about something that we face in our daily lives and that Jesus faced in his life. And because of that, he's able to help us. In the first week, Jesus was tempted, as we are tempted. And then we reflected on Jesus had opposition from the Pharisees and others. We have opposition. Jesus was let down by friends like Judas and Peter. We get let down by friends too. Today, let's think about loneliness. It's arguably the biggest problem in the world. Maybe greater than global warming, nuclear warfare, earthquakes, or whatever. Because the basic core human problem is loneliness, in the sense of we're broken inside ourselves, not happy in our own skin, not even friends with ourselves sometimes. And we're broken and divided with other people in social life. There are broken families. There's families that pass like ships in the night. There's a decline in communal community activity, a rise in antisocial behavior, a decline in church involvement. There's the Brexit business showing up divisions in our society. And the most serious of all is that as a human race, we are broken and divided from our God. People don't really feel Jesus loves me. People can't really sing, "What a friend I have in Jesus." And the trinity of these things, in ourselves, between ourselves, and between ourselves and God, leads to loneliness. In 57 varieties, many more. For example, we can all think of lonely in the sense of living alone. No company, no visitors. This is the end of March, and I'm sure that some people haven't had their first fruit yet. For many people, the only people who touch them is the dentist and the hairdresser. That's if they have teeth and hair. For many people, they sit at night and they watch TV and they get all that Brexit news and all the other bad news, and they've no one to share it with, and it comes in and in until they burst. There's the loneliness of suffering, even if surrounded with other people. Pain is lonely. Nobody else knows the pain we're in. Sometimes it's the middle of the night, and you don't want to waken up the other person, and you just go through into another room, and it's you alone with the pain. There's the loneliness in a crowd. When you're on your own, you can get kind of used to being on your own, but it can be lonelier even in a crowd. When you're the odd one out, you're so close to human fellowship, but so different and distant from it. You can imagine a young unemployed person hanging about a shopping mall. There's lots of people around, but this person is idle when others are busy. This person has no money when other people are spending money. You can imagine someone in a hospital ward, and there's lots of visitors at all the other beds, but not at their bed. There's the loneliness of disability. I remember being chaplain at Kildean School in Stirling, and the wee girls in their wheelchair. But perhaps the worst disability was the fact that they lived in an isolated wee world in their head. And the staff and I thought hard of how to connect them And we ended up with a rope between their hands in a circle. And we gave a wee tug down the line so they could feel someone else there. There's the loneliness of leadership responsibilities. It's lonely at the top. Everybody criticizes you. Everybody's got an opinion of how you're doing it wrong. It's not easy to be the Prime Minister. It's not easy to be an MP. The whole Brexit business is coming to crunch time. And everybody's agonizing about the right thing to do. And everybody will know how all their MP voted. And then they'll have their criticisms of how they voted. There are hard choices and decisions to make. It's very difficult for a Prime Minister to send soldiers into battle or to cut social services knowing that it will hurt. There's loneliness in persecution. There's peer pressure, not just for teenagers. We all can suffer from peer pressure, for being ridiculed for something we say or something we do. We can be sent to Coventry. We can be bullied, forsaken by family. In some places in the world, they're frightened of the knock on the door. Some worshippers are killed as they worship. We saw in New Zealand. But it happens all the time to Christians, to other religions too. Have you ever been persecuted for your faith? There's the loneliness of the immigrant, the foreigner, the incomer. I've only once been called whitey in Jamaica. It gave me a shiver. There's the loneliness of single parents. Rushed and harried parents. Left alone holding the baby, as they say. Or just the mother with the pram, and there's no adult conversation for many hours in a day. I knew of a little boy who said to his mum, "Mum, why does Dad live in this house?" And she said, "What do you mean, son?" He says, "Well, none of the other folk in my class at school have a dad living in the house." There's the loneliness of being betrayed and let down by friends or family or colleagues at work. There's the loneliness of individualism. A few years ago, Finland had a crisis and they set up a national inquiry to see what the problem was. Finland has a population the size of Scotland, but it had 1,400 suicides per year. They were dying like lemmings. They had pop songs like "I'll Be Dead by Christmas," sung by a group called Tragic Death. The government inquiry concluded that the cause of all this was loneliness. Over half of the suicides were alcohol-related. What had been driving young Finns to alcohol and death was loneliness. Many Scots, like the Finns, are kind of quiet, inscrutable, bottler-uppers of feelings, didn't like to show any emotion, didn't talk to anybody about their problems. So loneliness comes in 1,001 varieties. That's just some. And it's always at the bottom something to do with not happy in ourselves, fragmented, broken. Not happy with others, distant, remote, divided. And not happy in our relationship with God, feeling, my God, why have you forsaken me? But there is good news. We need be lonely no more. A cure has been found. Wouldn't you like to never again be lonely? The cure doesn't come in a bottle or pills. It doesn't come as alcohol or medicine. The only cure lies in a person, a friend, called Jesus. Our God Jesus is the friend who loves with a love that will never let us go. What a friend we do have in Jesus. When I needed a neighbor, he was there. Our constant companion on the journey of life and the one who waits to give us welcome at journey's end. He has experienced human loneliness from the inside, as a human, as one of us. He knows, he understands, he cares, and he can help. Look at Jesus' qualifications to help us when we're lonely. When he was born, he had to be born far from home. And I'm not meaning the 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I'm meaning from the glory of heaven to the sin-polluted world. When he was born, there was no room at the inn. He was rejected, an outcast. He was born in a stable. He was immediately homeless. They had to run to Egypt as a refugee, as a migrant. He was pushed around by the Roman bureaucracy with the census. King Herod was trying to kill him. He assassinated other children. If Jesus had heard of that story as he grew up, he'd have had survivor guilt. Jesus faced unemployment, poverty, ridicule, rejection, being chased from his hometown, from his home church, opposed, persecuted, excommunicated, threatened with stoning to death. He was tempted. He grieved the loss of his friend Lazarus. He wept over his people, Jerusalem and others. He was misunderstood. He had a price on his head. Arrested, forsaken, betrayed, denied, mocked, crucified. He's done the set. Our readings today, Psalm 22 and Mark 15, give us a clue into the loneliness of Jesus. If you read Psalm 22, you can see how his mind would be thinking on those lines on the cross. It was played out before him, what Psalm 22 had said 700 years earlier. His loneliness was of a magnitude and a scale, a different degree and kind to anything we can imagine. It was infinite suffering. It was, at one level, the loneliness of a man on a cross. The pain of it, the shame of it, people mocking and ridiculing while he's hurting. At a deeper level, it's the loneliness of the representative human being on the cross doing a once and for all cosmic action for everybody else. Taking the sins of the whole world, yours and mine, on his shoulders, becoming sin personified, the focus of God's justice and wrath and anger and punishment of sin. Reaching the ultimate loneliness, my God, why have you forsaken me? The most extreme position of the human predicament. And this is the loneliness of the unique, sinless, holy God on the cross. Sinless Jesus, breathing sin-polluted atmosphere. The holy God being spat upon, mocked, rejected, judged by sinners. Being rejected by his own creatures, his own covenant people, those that he was dying to save. He had come to bring forgiveness and healing and harmony and eternal life. And they were frantically trying to exterminate him. His children were prodigals. The hand of friendship was being nailed. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, ever one God, the Trinity, perfect harmony, perfect community, was being in himself broken, schizophrenic. My God, why have you forsaken me? the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that are closer than we can ever define or express, was feeling separate. All because he wants us to share his love and his life. All because he wants to wed us and marry us and be with himself forever. Because he wants to bring his lost sheep safely back to the fold, his prodigal sons and daughters home for a feast. Because he wants to lavish his hospitality upon us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit could live without us, but has chosen not to. Because love wants to love. Love reaches ever outwards. Where there is love, there is no loneliness. Love loves the lonely till they are lonely no longer, but loved, and in turn become loving, and letting the love of God flow in them and through them to others, and they to others and to others, till it is all love and no lonely. Just one great family of God in permanent, unbroken unity and love with one God and Father and Mother. Amen. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us a vision of a better world. A world that doesn't have so much loneliness, but a world that has much more love. And we invest not only our money, but our time and our talents and our lives in pursuit of your vision, in the extension of your kingdom, and the spread of your good news. Amen. Let's sing from Mission Praise number 115, Do Not Be Afraid, 115.
Sink beneath the waves. not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine, and you are by your names. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. In my eyes, do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I know, my child, I am your father. And I love you with a perfect love. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, the more that we look at you on the cross, the more layers of meaning we discern. We watch you looking at your mother Mary, and we watch her looking at you, and we see in both your faces the strains and tensions of your circumstances, but also the strains and the tensions in your relationship, and the strains and tensions within yourself. And in the middle of it, we see love shining through, overcoming the difficulties. You see past your own pain and agony, and you think of your mother. And she sees past the shame and the disgrace to the family and the abhorrence of the scene before her and the fear of the authorities. And she is boldly standing there, and she loves you. It is love overcoming all difficulties, external or internal. And Lord, we become conscious that we stand beside Mary looking at you, and you look at us. We are the disciple whom you love. And we confess, Lord, that there are tensions within us. We hesitate to follow you, to take up our cross day by day. We don't understand why you have to be crucified. We don't understand why the world has so many crucifixions, why there is such violence in front of our face. We come with our own aches and pains, fears and doubts, questions and agonies, our hurts. And we find it hard to see past ourselves and to feel your pain. And we're in no rush to feel other pains beyond all the things that we have to put up with. But as we look into your eyes and you look into ours, we see your love, and you draw love from us. And we know that this is the way to go. The moth may be repulsed by the light, but we know this is the only way to go. And so we stay standing, looking into your eyes, with you looking into ours. And we want to stay looking into your eyes for the rest of our lives, for the rest of our eternity. For you are the pioneer and perfecter, the author and finisher of our faith. Without you there is no life, only death. But it's not easy, Lord. And we pray today for those beside us who face their own stresses and strains and tensions. Help them to keep their eyes fixed upon you too. We pray today especially for mothers. We pray for mothers in poverty, mothers in war zones, mothers in grief. We pray for young and new mothers, mothers of big families, single parent mothers, mothers with their first baby, mothers of sick children, mothers of teenagers, elderly mothers. And Lord, we pray for our particular needs this weekend. We pray for those who are ill. We pray for Ruth Carson. We pray for Harry McElreevy, Anne Barraclough, Jim Grant, Harry Duff, George Murray. We pray for Betty McCubbin, Peggy Parsons, Alan Mackay, and John Hunter. We pray for your comfort and peace upon all those who are bereaved. We pray for your blessing on Betty McIntosh, moving house after 58 years in the same home. We pray for Ruth Cowan settling into her new house, and for Christine Cattile settling into her new home. We pray for the wider world. We pray for the country at this time in the Brexit crisis. Grant strength and courage and wisdom to our leaders. We pray that your will may be done. We pray for Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Malawi recovering from a cyclone. For New Zealand recovering from the mass shooting of 50 worshippers. We think of elections today in Turkey, Ukraine, and Slovakia. We pray for Syria and Venezuela and Yemen. We pray for Israel and Palestine with the border protests. 200 Palestinians have been shot and one Israeli. We pray for your church. As a presbytery, we pray for Beath Parish Church, the Reverend Roddy MacDonald, and the Deaconess Fiona Blair. But we pray for Saltcoats North Parish Church and all your people around the world. Help us to be the instruments of your love and your peace and your grace. Amen. Let's sing together hymn 681. In Heavenly Love Abiding, 681 in the Red Book.
Oh, yeah.
news round about me, and can I be dismayed? Wherever he may guide me, no one shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can abide. His wisdom never wakens, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. In past years skies will soon be over me, where all the clouds have been. I hope I cannot measure, my path to life is free. My Savior has my treasure, and He
may God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit enable you to mount up on wings like eagles, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. Amen.